For those of you who were with us last Sunday night, we talked about the glory of God. And this morning we're going to continue that theme and talk about His glory and our glory. Would you please open your Bibles to John chapter 1. Verse 14 of John 1 says, "And the Word was made flesh, the Logos, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, Yahweh the Son, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We are fast approaching Christmas Day. We are in the Christmas season. But I wonder, have you ever stopped to think that around Christmas time, each year, there is a lot of brightness in one way or another? A number of store windows are often aglow with many colored lights. And indeed, there are many homes that will have decorations and colored lights. But you know, even the decorations and the colored lights are only a soft reflection of the brightness of Christmas. There is always the incomparable thrill of watching a child open a gift that you know that will surprise and delight her or him. The Christmas season can be rightfully termed a festival of light. And perhaps we need this festival more than we've ever needed it before. Come Christmas Day, many children will happily open their gifts. Those who are interested in prophecy will be very much aware that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is near. And all around us, even though there is the brightness of the Christmas colored lights, even though our streets are well alight at night, the tragedy is that as we approach Christmas 1986, the world is darker than it has ever been before. The power of evil in the world today has never been known before, not even in the days of the Apostle Paul, not even in the days of the Lord Jesus and His earthly ministry. And so we stand on the edge of being internally destroyed by a number of illnesses, and even right now as I preach this morning, there is somewhere in this world conflict that will take a human life. And in the midst of that darkness, to which many people are ignorant, we try to brighten up this world of ours. But there's one great truth about Christmas. We cannot postpone Christmas until the world is a better place to live in. But for many people, the spirit of celebration will be enough to overcome their gloom. And of course, there will be people who will say that Christmas is as bright as it is because it is a carryover from pagan celebrations. And there's a lot of truth in that statement. But for many, the brightness is only a faint reflection of the brightness of the first Christmas. So for a moment or two, let us just reflect upon the Christmas story, the shepherds out on the hillside at night, and how they were shocked when darkness at midnight was shattered by heavenly splendor. The Bible says in Luke 2:9, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were terrified." So here we see again the glory of God. And so as we are about to celebrate the coming of the Christ child, we will think of Him in many ways. But you cannot think of Christmas and the babe in Bethlehem without thinking about the glory of God. We know that there's every reason to rejoice. We know that the unimaginable has happened. God became a man. When Christ was born in the Bethlehem manger, there came every reason to celebrate. Because in Him is the glory of God. In Him is our eternal salvation. In our imaginations, let us see the glory out on the hillside where the shepherds were nodding by the dying fire, which was theirs. And then suddenly they were awakened by the glory of God. And will you notice the message that was given to them when that glory was revealed was this: "Today, in the city of David, is born a Savior." Oh, what a great moment this was, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords had taken off His kingly robes in heaven and became a human being. Oh, the shepherds saw the glory of God, and they saw it
when Jesus was born, prior to when they had seen Jesus for themselves. And that glory was going to become the glory of human beings also. In simple language, at Christmas time, we look at Jesus Christ and we see what we will become if we believe in him. Now, it is fair to say that the brightness of the Christmas celebration is a faint reflection of the glory of Christ. And indeed, it is a faint reflection of what those who believe in him will become. Now, in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "The Word became flesh." And to give it to you in the literal translation, it means this: the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this statement, the Word became flesh, the Logos, the Christos, the Messiah, is a description of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word, in referring to Christ, refers to the person known as the Son of God. The Gospel of John describes the birth of Jesus differently from the other two Gospels. Matthew and Luke give more details of his birth, but John gives us none of the details. But John describes the essence of what happened and simply says that the Son of God, the Word, became human flesh. And there are many, many significant reasons why. One of them is that flesh had to be sacrificed on the cross. So we see here from the Word of God that God truly became a member of the human race. But in this verse 14 of John 1, we read, "The Word became flesh." But that's not all of the verse. The verse goes on to mention the glory of this being, this God-man. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here is the Son of God in human flesh, yet he is glorious. And when we think about that for a moment or two, it causes us to wonder at the majesty of God. You see, the Christ of Christmas was a human being, but he was also the glorious Son of God. And as you look through the eye of faith at the babe in the Bethlehem manger, you are looking at a glorious human being. And as you look through the eye of faith at the Christ of the cradle, you are given hope, because you know that through Jesus Christ it is possible for human beings to become glorious. The glory of the Son of God and the glory of the sons and daughters of God, this is what the birth of Jesus Christ is all about. You cannot become glorious until you are redeemed. But the Word of God says that in him the glory of God came forth. And as we approach the Christmas season, there are two reasons why we must appropriate what the Bible says. Firstly, we are celebrating the glorious appearing of the Son of God. And secondly, we are celebrating the fact that human beings can now become glorious through Jesus Christ. And as I read 1 John verse 14, I get the impression that John is summarizing the history of Christ. He's taking all of the Old Testament teaching, all of those theophanies, all of those Christophanies, all of those appearances which Christ made in his pre-incarnate existence. And John is taking all of that history and he's bringing it all together. And he says, the Word, the Logos, becomes flesh and dwells among us. In the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke, we read that when the angels left the shepherd, darkness fell again over the world and Jesus Christ was plunged into the darkness of this world. We only think of Christ being plunged into darkness when we look at Calvary. And when he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We only think of the darkness then. We do not think of the darkness into which the babe of Bethlehem was plunged. Oh, indeed, there are many years of his life that we know nothing about. And during the course of his ministry, he met demons who wanted to destroy him. He encountered disease and death, and he experienced rejection. And finally, he was nailed to the cross. And it was not again until he entered the depths of darkness did his glory appear. Did his glory appear? Oh, yes, the Bible teaches that Christ arose from the grave. And 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended back into heaven, ascended back to fulfill that prayer in John 17. He said, "Oh, Father, I'm coming home. Restore again the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world." And the Bible says, as the clouds received him and he vanished out of the sights of the apostles, he ascended into heaven. And two angels came and spoke to the apostles. They said, "This same Jesus that you have seen go, in like manner, one day he will come again." When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, his glory was hidden. It was revealed to the shepherds, but it was hidden at the birth. But at the end of his ministry in this world, his glory was revealed. And the good news at this time of the year is that Christ's glory will be the glory of everyone who believes in him. Our Lord himself saw it this way. While he was among us, he knew that the day would come when he would be glorified, and he wanted his people to share his glory and to share glory with him. The 17th chapter of John's Gospel records a prayer Christ offered before he went to the cross. It was about glory and about the way believers would share his glory. Listen to what he says. "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." And as Jesus continued, he prayed for those who had believed his word. "May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me." And as Christ prayed on, he tells how he wanted his glorified people to be with him and his Father throughout eternity. "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me." Now, beloved people, from this prayer it is clear that just before Christ was crucified, he was thinking about his glory, about the glory of his people, and about the way his people would see his glory throughout eternity. Are you now, in a spirit of love, I am asking, are you now beginning to understand how through Christ coming into our world, our lives can become glorious? And when we look at God in the flesh, we see glory. We see glory in a glorious human being called Jesus Christ. And at Christmas time, there is cause for happiness. God has come, and now there is hope for us, because we too can become glorious if we believe in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. For indeed, the whole message of Christmas is that you can become glorious if you believe in Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:10 speaks of the renewal of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word says they put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Ephesians 4:23-24 says about believers being made in the attitude of their minds and putting on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I know that this message is strong biblically, but the Bible teaches this truth, because at Christmas time, beloved people, we see our own human flesh surrounded by glory. And we learn from the Bible that those who believe in Christ as their Savior and Lord will also be glorified. You do not see Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild at Christmas time. You see the holiness of God. You see the glory and majesty of God. And the Bible says that those who are redeemed will become like God in righteousness and holiness and glory. And beloved, there was among the believers of the early church an excited expectation that what would happen when Jesus Christ would come back and all the marvelous expectations would become reality. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the expectation that believers would become like Christ someday is expressed this way. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the Bible also contrasts the earthly and the resurrected bodies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this way. The Bible says, the body that is sown is perishable, but it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Indeed, beloved, as the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Oh yes, the man from heaven has come to earth. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. And as you think about him at this Christmas time, you are invited to believe that he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord and the Savior. And if you believe in him, then someday you will bear the likeness of the man from heaven, because he is your Lord and Savior. Or think back for a moment to the hillside and to the shepherds. Think back to the glory that exploded upon the shepherds as they sat on the hillside. They were given the message regarding the Christ child as the Savior of the world. And beloved, if we have confessed our sins and truly repented and acknowledged the Christ of the Bethlehem manger and the Christ of Calvary's cross, then we can look forward one day to being transformed into this same glory. For we will bear the likeness of the man from heaven. And the Bible teaches that the glory of Christ, that Christ child in the Bethlehem manger, transforms believers' lives in two ways. Firstly, they receive the Holy Spirit so that they can begin to live in a more God-fearing way. For a moment, think of how the life of sin can drag people down into ugliness. There is alcohol and there is drugs. There is sexual and homosexuality that today is being used and abused. There are those who have emotional instability. There are those who often destroy their marriages and their families. There are those who have suppressed rage and selfishness and violent hatred. And then there are those corrupt human beings of all walks of life who become unattractive and repulsive. There is no glory amongst anyone who persists in sin. But when such people turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him and receive divine help to withstand temptation and to rebuild their lives, and their lives then will become something beautiful in God's sight. The second way that believers are transformed is this. The glory of the Christ child transforms them when they finish their earthly lives and pass on to the life to come. And the Bible teaches, however, that there are two futures for human beings. The one future is so horrible, I don't even want to talk about it today. There are those who reject Christ. There are those who bring upon themselves a future of rejection by the Almighty God. And they will experience the opposite of glory. They will experience corruption and dishonor. And they will spend all of eternity in hell. But the other future will be experienced by those who realize that the Christ born at Christmas time is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. Yes, indeed, those who trust in him for salvation will discover the splendor of an eternity which will be the likeness of brilliant light which pierced the night when Christ was born. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. And the grace Christ carried in that Bethlehem manger was the grace that was carried into our miserable world in a human body. And it was the grace of God's loving favor extended to sinful mankind. The truth that was embodied there is the great message of Jesus as God's only begotten Son, who made our salvation a reality through his life, death, and resurrection. Oh yes, beloved people, the glorious Son of God became a man in the Bethlehem manger, and we beheld his glory. And as he plunged forth into a world of darkness, he lived in this world of darkness for a while. And then at Calvary's cross, he then again plunged into darkness for the sins of humanity. And then he rose in his resurrected body. His glory, beloved, was revealed. Oh, as you approach Christmas, may I lovingly encourage you not to come to the Christmas Day service with any sentimentality about gentle Jesus, meek and mild. When we gather at Christmas Day, we will be thinking of Almighty God embodied in a human body. We will be thinking of the one whose glory has been revealed and will be revealed. We'll be thinking of the one who paid the price for the sins of humanity. There'll be no gentle Jesus, meek and mild in that. But what we will see, beloved people, will be the strong and holy God who demands righteousness and holiness and demands that his people, whilst here on earth, walk in an upright manner, a manner which is pleasing to God. If you want the sentimentality of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, may I very lovingly say this to you. There are other churches that will have a Christmas Day service. May we bow together in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you today for the holiness of yourself. We thank you today that you are a righteous and a holy God, that you will not tolerate sin, that you will not tolerate injustice, that you will not tolerate unholiness. And our Father, you are the rewarder to those who disobey. Oh, our Father, may we become people of God. May we today walk in the holiness of Christ. May we this day truly recognize who he is. And indeed, our Father, if we do not know who he is, then admit that we have made a mistake, that we've been deceived. Oh, our Father, remind us today of the glory of yourself. Amen. Our concluding hymn today is 280. Is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice lay? Your heart doth the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Thank you.
Lord.